Fred, one of the main reasons I took the job here was because of that fan they had blowing on me when I tried out. Then when I got here, they didn't have it anymore. I think they believe that if they don't keep me cool, I'll get hot enough to quit at some point in my preaching. So that might be a mechanism to keep my sermons shorter. I'm not certain about that. Today we continue our Two Roads Diverge series. We were supposed to have done this last week, but as I told you last week, we had to kind of move it forward because of circumstances. But this series is designed to help us move upward in Jesus Christ by choosing to follow the steps of Jesus Christ, to follow the narrow path that he talked about in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, that narrow path that leads to eternal life, and to avoid that broad way that leads to destruction. But when we talk about following the steps of Jesus Christ, we're literally going to talk about looking at Christ and the things in his life and putting them in ours. And so as we go through these lessons over the course of this year, we will see what Jesus Christ left for us as an example. We will follow the steps that he has led us with on the right path. As children of God, we seek ever to move upward in Jesus Christ. We seek ever to be following those footprints that he has left for us in the life that he lived, and by following his example. You know, today our lesson will be about bearing fruit for Christ. You know, Jesus lived daily to bear fruit for God. He was bringing people to Christ, or bringing people to God. He was bringing people to the truth. He was teaching them what they needed to know in order to be pleasing to God. Jesus worked hard. When you think about all that he did in a 3-year time span, the length of his ministry, that the world could not contain the books. If it told about everything that Jesus did, Jesus was about bearing fruit. We are to be about bearing fruit as well. There are a couple of ways in which we bear fruit as children of God. The first is the fruit we bear within ourselves, that which is within us, within our heart, that which changes us and moves us closer to the example that Jesus Christ left for us. Open your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. We're going to read through verse 11. John chapter 15. And we think about when Jesus said this, here in John chapter 15, it is the night before he dies. He has instituted the Lord's Supper at this point. Judas has left to go and to betray Jesus Christ at this point. And Jesus now is telling the disciples these last things that he thinks they really need to know. Very important things. And that's where we find this text. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Jesus says that we are to abide in him. We are to bear much fruit. And in fact, bearing fruit, Jesus says in this particular text, shows that we are his disciples. It is proof that we are his disciples. It is proof that we are following the example that he has said. He said, "I have done these things. I have kept my Father's will. You keep my Father's will. You bear fruit as I bore fruit." And you find all of that from Him. Now, first aspect of this teaching that we must make clear, and sometimes I think that we take it out of context, is that the fruit in this text is not about bringing other people to Christ. That's not the fruit in this text. We're going to talk about that fruit in just a moment. There is fruit in that regards. That's not what this text is talking about. Understand that in this text, people are not fruit. In this text, people are branches. Branches that are connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, the fruit is what is coming forth from those branches. It is what is taking place in their lives. It's what's taking place in our lives. It's the fruit that we bear in our lives as a result of being connected or abiding in Jesus Christ and Him abiding in us. There is certain fruit that should come forth from a life that does that. You know, we will discuss the other kind of fruit in just a moment, but understand this. You will never bear that kind of fruit, the kind of fruit as far as bringing people to Christ, you will never bear that fruit until you bear this fruit. Because you have to have that in you, you have to have Christ in you for you to ever do that properly. For you to ever even want to do that in the manner in which God would have it done. In the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, in verses 3 through 9, Jesus illustrates the beginning of bearing this kind of fruit when we see that the seed in that text, that seed is the truth that is sown and planted into the heart of an individual. If the heart of that individual is good and it is receptive to that seed, it's good soil, then it brings forth fruit. It brings forth fruit within that person's life. And it is, and he mentions, you know, that it can be 60, 30, 100, whatever fold it may be in that person's life. The seed of truth produces a child of God. I want us to understand that very quickly this morning. You notice that Jesus says, I am the true vine. He doesn't just say, I'm a vine, does he? He says, I am the true vine. There's one vine. There's one place that we receive that which is necessary for us to bear the fruit that Christ wants us to bear. And there is only one seed which is true, and only that seed grows Christians. Now, there's a lot of seeds being thrown around in our religious world today, but folks, there is only one seed. And, you know, can't be teaching 15 different things. That's 15 different seeds. There is one seed. My father always said it's the law of the harvest. You plant corn, you get corn. My father grew up on a farm. You plant, and Jim, you know about this. You know, you plant corn, you get corn. You plant radishes, you get radishes, right? You plant truth, you get a Christian. You plant error, you don't. And there's just no other way for us to view that process. You know, it produces, that seed produces that child of God from the inside out. It's planted within them. To receive into our heart this seed, you know, that engrafted word which is able to save our souls, we receive that into our hearts, our good soul. And we grow from the inside out. Jesus makes it very clear that when we take care of the inside, the outside always takes care of itself. Matthew chapter 10, verses 15 through 20, Jesus says that all we do comes from the heart. Therefore, all of our fruit bearing from Christ begins there and comes from there in our lives. So we have to take the Word of God into our hearts and let it grow. Returning to John chapter 15, we see that as Christians, we are connected. We are connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And all we need to grow, all that we need to become fruitful is found in Jesus. Comes from Him. We don't need anything else. Peter says that God's Word has everything we need for life and godliness. Folks, there's nothing left. And, you know, when people tell me, well, the Bible's just not got enough information to help my life. Folks, you don't know the Bible very well. There's no one out there that made you except God. He knows you better than anybody knows you. He knows how you tick. He knows how you work. He knows everything about you. And I think He could put together a word that could lead us through this life if only we trust in that fact. All we need to grow and become fruitful is provided from Him. If we are not connected to Him, if we are not drawing what we need in this life from Him through study and the living of His truth, then we will die, surely, as a branch cut off of a tree out there will die once it's removed from the trunk. And it no longer can receive nutrients. It will die. So will we if we're disconnected from Jesus Christ. Being connected to the vine is to abide in Christ because we are connected to Him. He abides in us because what is in us comes directly from Him. That's what we are. You know, Christianity is not a checklist. It is who you are. It is your life. It is everything within you. It is not something I do when I have time. It is something I live 24/7. So we need to remember that, that when Christ abides in us, all that we have in us comes from Him. The fruit in our heart can only grow because of the nutrients that He provides. And it is also made clear in the Lord's teaching that if a branch does not bear this fruit, if we're not out there bearing fruit in our own hearts and in our lives, as we'll talk about in a moment, if we're not doing that, if we're not bearing fruit, bearing fruit's not an option, folks. If we're not bearing fruit, the vine dresser, as Jesus says, the Father in heaven, will cut us off from the vine. He will prune us away like a diseased branch, so that we do not affect the plant as a whole, that the plant may be stronger. And we will, at that point, be lost. Now, the fruit we must bear includes love. These are things that come from within and will be expressed outwardly. Compassion. Proper priorities of putting God first in all things. We talked about that in Bible class this morning, about listing our priorities. And we all know what should be number one. And probably if we ask everybody in this room this morning, what is your number one priority? I think everybody in this room probably have the same number one. At least that's what we would say. But words are cheap. We can say a lot of things. We can say God's number one, but is He really? When put up against other things in your life, does He always win? Or is He sometimes subjugated to my wants, my desires, my schedule, my kids, my husband, my wife, my mother, my father? And as we talked about in class this morning, Jesus said, if you will not hate father, mother, children, even yourself, you cannot be my disciple. You know, we also, this fruit we bear includes trust in God. It includes servanthood. It includes courage. It includes endurance. It includes hard work. It includes self-control. This series of lessons will talk about each one of those things, each one of those characteristics, each one of those fruits, if that's what you want to call them. And these fruits also correspond with the fruit of the Spirit that Paul wrote about to the Galatians in chapter 5 and verses 22 through 23, where Paul said that if we belong to Christ, and basically the implication there is if we don't have these things, we will not belong to Him. If we belong to Christ, then the things that characterize us are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these were characteristics of the life of Jesus Christ. You look at them and you look at Christ and you see these same characteristics in His life. And therefore, as we take on His name, we wear the name Christian, we should have these characteristics in our life as well as we follow the path that He has left for us. Someone may ask how they can have these characteristics in their lives. And that's a good question. You know, if I must have them, I need to know how I can have them. And there are only two ways. Number one, you can only have these things in your life, you can only bear this kind of fruit in your life by studying God's Word. Now, I can't express that enough. That's the answer to so many questions. I just don't even, you know, I may sound like a broken record sometimes, but it really doesn't go any past, you know, there's not a lot past that. Faith comes from that. You know, everything we are comes from what we understand and know, from what God has given to us to understand and know, which is His Word. All men have added, you know, they've got all the touchy-feely stuff trying to add all that in, but let me tell you what, there's just nothing replaces God's Word. Nothing replaces the truth. You can be touchy-feely all day long and still one day knock the bottom out of hell if you haven't given your life to God's Word. You know, these attributes cannot be known nor possessed without the knowledge necessary to have them. You cannot love until you know what love is. The world's definition of love is a far cry from the definition of love that you'll find in this book. It is a far cry from it. You know, I always like in the movie Fireproof, when Caleb's dad's talking to him there at that little spot with the cross, and he's talking to him, and he says, "Caleb, you can't give her what you don't have, because you've never known or understood what love really was. You can't give it to someone else. And until we know what love is, as it is demonstrated by the one that the Bible says is love, and we don't know what to give to other people. We don't understand it. So many people do not understand God because they do not understand love. Oh, God's love. He's just going to let me by with everything, right? Like grandma and grandpa. No offense. I'm getting dirty looks. Yeah, he's just going to let me by. Let me tell you, love's tough. Love does not just mean it lets you do anything you want. Love does not mean that you do not suffer consequences. My mother loves me with all of her might. I believe that. Let me tell you what, I suffered many a consequences at her hand. And I never doubted her love. Love does not remove consequences. Love, when we look at God's love, love provided us an opportunity not to go to hell, right? Let me tell you what, that opportunity cost a lot. Jesus paid a terrible price for that one option. If that was the only expression of love God ever showed you, you've been loved more than you'll ever be loved by anybody or any multitude of people in this world. Wouldn't you say that the world's concept of goodness is vastly different from God's? Oh, I believe so. I believe that goodness is a very different definition when we talk about God. So we've got to study God's Word. That's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to know what the fruit that needs to be born, because what is coming from that vine is here. John calls him the Word, the Logos, the embodiment of truth in John chapter 1. Also calls him the same thing in 1 John chapter 1. Well, the second thing that we must do, we know God's Word, we study God's Word. We need to then live those things in our daily lives. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." This fruit of our hearts needs to then be expressed in our daily lives. Because that's really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? That's really where we begin to learn how to love. That's really where we begin to learn really how to live righteously. Is as we get out there and we do it, and we get experience in it, we learn better to discern good and evil, right? You know, theory is all good and fine, isn't it? You know, we talk about, you know, theory. You know, I tell you, preachers go to preacher school and they learn a lot of things and they hear a lot of things and they sit in a lot of classes. But let me tell you what, there's nothing that replaces right here. Being in the work. Because there's things that you learn here, when you're in the job, when you're a preacher at a congregation, there are things you learn that cannot be taught in a classroom. And so, you know, it's always better to be in action, to be doing the work, to be getting the experience than just hearing about it. So at some point we've got to put it into action so that we can, as the writer of Hebrews says, have our senses trained by action to discern good and evil. Now, this fruit in our hearts must be expressed in our lives. It is how we see the truest value of each type of fruit. I've had people tell me, they said, "You know, Nathan, you cannot believe the change that's happened in my life." I've seen people that have come out of terrible lives of sin, and they have said, "My life is so much different now." And it's not because they just know something else, it's because they're doing something else. And so it's changed me in so many ways I never thought possible. Even when they were converted, and they already knew then, didn't they, a lot about what they needed to do. But they said, "I didn't really understand until I really started living it. And now my life is so much different. I'm so much happier. I'm so much more at peace. I have so much more direction." So we live it. You know, doing this is the essence of what Paul tells the Romans in chapter 8, in the Galatians in chapter 5. This is walking by the Spirit. Walking is how we live. We live according to the Spirit. We live according to that which the Spirit has provided to mankind, and that is God's Word. We live according to that. We walk according to His words, His walk, or the directions that He gave. The fruit of the Spirit is learned. The fruit of the Spirit is then lived as well. Now that fruit is the character of Jesus Christ, and it comes from the seed of truth that is planted. And when allowed, it will generate great fruit within an individual's life. Now, when we bear the fruit of Christ, it will change our priorities. It will change our relationship. It will change our dedication to the Lord's work. It will change our outlook on everyday life and every situation we find ourselves in. The second aspect of bearing fruit this morning is the product of doing the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. He was giving the increase, right? Paul and Apollos were doing the work, and the fruit of their labor came because they were connected to the vine. Paul and Apollos could have done nothing without God. All the fruit that they bore came as a result of being connected to the vine, being connected to Jesus Christ, being connected to the truth. And so they could plant, they could water. But at the end of the day, it required God, didn't it? John chapter 1 as well, it says that we're not born of God by blood or by strength of man or by anything except God. It's by His power that we become His child. And so we bear fruit in the world because we are connected to the vine, because we have those things that the vine provides within us to give to others. You know, back to what I said a while ago, we can't give others what we don't have ourselves. We need to be living in a way that will produce fruit from good works. Colossians 1 and verse 9 tells us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walk is how we live our lives, as I mentioned a moment ago. We live in a manner that is in keeping with what the Lord has done for us. That I wake up every morning and I remember what He's done for me, and I'm going to live today with that constantly before me. You know, David said in Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. Folks, as Christians, Christ should ever be before you. That I can see Him every moment in every situation. He is where I receive the things that I need to deal with everything. Then the verse says that we are able to bear fruit in every good work. Our works shine the light of Christ, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and direct people to God where they can be connected to the branch, connected to Jesus Christ themselves in order that they can bear fruit for the Lord. That is the fruit that we had a part in bringing about. And when you look at that word bear in the Greek, pharos, it means to bring about. Not just to carry, as we sometimes use the word, you know. We're not bearing fruit on our shoulders. We're bringing it about. We're bringing it into our lives. We're bringing it, in those cases, into other people's lives too. You know, it's never about, bearing fruit out there. We never bear fruit for us. We bear fruit for Him, for Jesus Christ. And so we see that we bring that fruit, we bring about in our lives through our action, brings then about fruit in the lives of other people as well. They see those good works that come from the fruit that we have borne in our own hearts, and they turn and they glorify God. And they look to God and they ask about God and they want to know about God, but it begins with the fruit that was within you, the fruit that was within me. So what opportunities do we have, very quickly, to bear fruit in our work here? Well, we have new evangelistic opportunities coming up that we talked about in the past three Sundays. And with them, we have the opportunity to bear fruit by planting and watering and letting God then give the increase. And as we said, we want to do something. We want to do anything that we might connect others to the vine. We might connect others to the nutrients that will bring forth true fruit in their lives and the lives of others. We have our Ladies' Day coming up next Saturday. There's an opportunity. You may be helping, and if you are, thank you. And if you have an opportunity to help, I'm sure Dottie still has other things that need help with. And you know, there's a lot of opportunities there to help. But even if you're not helping in the actual organization process, be here and support it and learn from God's Word, that you might learn from the vine, that you might bear fruit in your own heart, that will hopefully strengthen you in bearing fruit or bringing forth fruit from others in a future time. Now, this is going to be, this Ladies' Day is going to be a great fruit of labor by helping in this great, you know, and I hear there's going to be 400 or more there. And so, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to study God's Word and to fellowship and encourage one another and to bear fruit for Christ. In about a month and a half, on March 29th through April the 1st, we will be hosting the Carolina Lectures here. And this is a great chance to learn about God's Word and the good works that it calls us to be engaged in. You know, the theme of the Carolina Lectures this year is a city set on a hill, the shining church of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And that's who we are, folks. I want to know more about it. I want to hear more about it. We got great men coming, men such as Brother Farr and Brother Phil Sanders and many others. And there's going to be 43 lessons by men from North Carolina and South Carolina, Tennessee and Oklahoma here to speak. It's going to be a rich feast. You have an opportunity there to partake of the vine, to bear fruit in your life. And hopefully then take that and help others bear fruit in theirs. And we're going to need help. Need help, especially in food prep. We've got to provide 4 lunches for people. And folks, we don't need 10 families providing all 4 lunches. Because that's sometimes what happens. We need a lot of people volunteering to help. So that no inordinate amount of responsibility is placed on one particular person or one particular group. But that we share in the labor. That we share in the harvest. We share in the fruit that we bear as Christians. You know, so look to those things. The Carolina Lectures is a good fruit of edification. We need to bear in our work here. And I'm thankful as well for the high school youth group that's going to be taking care of children on Saturday so that more families can come and participate in it and their hard work. And they're going to be bearing fruit for Christ and helping those young children know more about Jesus Christ, know more about the vine, to get connected. It's very exciting. We have a lot of exciting things going on here, and I'm thankful to God for that. You know, there are many things that anyone can find to do in this congregation in order to help themselves to bear fruit in their lives and to help them bring about fruit in other people's lives. There's a lot of things. Folks, if you're not finding something, you're not looking. Because you can't hardly get anything on a calendar these days in this church. You can't plan. I told Julie, I said, I want to get something on the calendar, and she said, it'll be May. So if you're not finding anything, you're not looking. Ask. If you don't know, ask. There's people that can certainly direct you in the ways of things that need to be done and helped with. You know, we're commanded to bear fruit in God's Word. Therefore, we need to take advantage of all the opportunities available to us so that we please the Father and remain attached to the vine that can sustain us in all of our spiritual and our physical needs. And that's Jesus Christ. He promised such in Matthew chapter 6. If only we would seek Him first. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And in conclusion this morning, we just need to remember some things about that. That all life is from Him. John chapter 1, John said, the Word is life. And when you look at that in the Greek, it is the source of all life. Jesus is the source of all physical life. He is the source of all spiritual life. He is the source of all life. All life comes from Him. And if you're looking for life, you're going to have to go to Him for it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. We also need to understand that there is no fruit without Him. You cannot bear any fruit without the true vine. Oh, you can bear fruit of iniquity. You can't bear the fruit of righteousness without Jesus Christ. And you must know Him in order to abide in Him. You know, Jesus cannot be a stranger to you, and you know Him. Jesus cannot be a stranger to you, and you abide in Him. You need to know Him, and you get to know Him here. You must allow Him to abide in you by taking in all that He offers. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "You must eat My flesh and drink My blood." And the people went, "Ooh." Literally. These are hard things. Who can hear them? But what Jesus was saying is you have to consume Me. All that I am. You have to take it in and place it in your life. He wasn't literally talking about eating flesh or drinking blood. He was talking about the consumption of who He was. And we are to consume Him. He is the vine. We get it from Him. Everything comes from Him. We take it into our lives. We consume Him by studying His Word. Once you abide in Christ and Christ abides in you, you will bear fruit because you are receiving into your heart the truth that which will push you to learn and to do in your life. You will produce fruit if you truly connect yourself to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount and He finishes the Beatitudes, Jesus doesn't say, you know, if we match up with the Beatitudes, the things that are mentioned there, He doesn't say, then try to be light. He says, no, you will be light. You are light. You are salt. When you take these things in, you will become something else. Because it will change you just surely as a seed changes when it's planted in the soil. And if you don't, and I pray to God that no one makes that choice here. If you don't bear fruit, you will be pruned away. And as the text says in John chapter 15, you will lay on the ground, you will dry up, and then you will be picked up and cast into the fire one day. And folks, we don't want that. Jesus Christ came, lived, died, rose, and ascended back to heaven so that that would not have to be the case in your life. This morning, if you are not connected to the vine, if you're not connected to Jesus Christ, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray that you will make the decision today to do so. To obey the gospel, to believe in Him, to repent of your sins, to choose to cease the sinful activity in your life, to confess Him as Lord, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to God except Him. To confess Him as Lord. Be buried in baptism this morning. Having your sins washed away there as you die to yourself and to your own desires, and you're buried there in that watery grave of baptism, and you rise up glorified with your sins washed away, just as Jesus Christ rose from the grave glorified, having obeyed the Father, having kept His will perfectly. You can rise up perfect as He was perfect, having your sins washed away to walk a new life, a life that is connected to the true vine, a life that bears fruit. If you're a child of God this morning, and maybe you haven't been bearing fruit as you should, look hard at your life. Connect with the vine. Study God's Word. Get out there and get to bearing fruit, not only in your heart, but in your life, that God might be glorified and that you might remain a part of the vine. If we can assist you in any way this morning, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.